Welcome to this week's episode of the Jewish Diaspora Report. On this week's episode, we talk about how the pro-Hamas lobby's house of cards is crumbling down. Let's get started. As most of our listeners probably have heard by now, the International Court of Justice has ruled a temporary and interim verdict in the case that South Africa had brought against Israel for genocide. Many of you who have listened to our previous podcasts may have heard the Kangaroo Court episode where we discussed this a little more in depth. But on this episode, we're going to talk about the verdict that was reached and also how the United Nations as a whole has been crumbling all around when it comes to Gaza. Starting with the International Court of Justice, it was amazing to watch all of these pro-Gazan, pro-Hamas, anti-Israel groups, whatever you want to call them, coming out and cheering for the idea that South Africa is finally going to bring this claim of genocide to the international court. And when the court accepted it and said they would hear the case, everybody cheered that this is proof that Israel is committing genocide, or else why would this court even bother to take this up? Some of my more avid followers may remember from previous episodes where I discussed the issue of a person online who would message our JDR.podcast account constantly with supposed conspiracy theories and crazy ideas about what really happened on October 7th. This person actually went so far as to Photoshop our account with all kinds of pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, anti-Israel stuff on it, saying that I will have to change our display picture to a Palestinian flag and also make sure to suggest that Israel is committing genocide once this court decides that officially Israel is committing genocide. I heard this a few times back and forth, the rubbing in of how I'm going to learn my lesson pretty quickly and that this whole podcast is going to have to change. And then I heard silence because the verdict came in. And I'm not even kidding you. The person has literally not responded to any of the messages since the day of the verdict. I was speaking to him that morning, and then he stopped once the verdict came out. And I'll be honest, I've been trolling a little bit, trying to say to him, like, come on, like, what's going on? We can still be friends. I'm sorry that it didn't work out for you, things like that. And meanwhile, the person just watches our stories, doesn't respond to any of our messages, sees the messages, and I think at this point, stopped even opening the messages because I think they are a little bit embarrassed, which is actually pretty funny how confident this person was that the verdict would come in the way that they thought it would in a court that they believed is above all reproach for, you know, being a legitimate court. And then meanwhile, the verdict came in and nothing. For anybody who hasn't heard the verdict yet, obviously this is an interim verdict, because the actual trial and the question of whether or not a genocide is happening is going to take roughly months to years before they find out. So the way that the International Court of Justice is working is if there really is a genocide happening, obviously they're not going to wait 3 years to go, oh, by the way, I know all the people who are being killed are dead, but it is and was a genocide. They try and get a verdict or an interim verdict out immediately to put a stop to any kind of issue fighting before it gets too bad, and then they can rule later on the official documents and the official information. That's what happened here. This is an interim report. But the interim report came back essentially with a few key points. Israel has not been asked to stop fighting. If this really was a genocide, they would actually immediately call for a ceasefire and say what Israel is doing is against the law, and therefore they must stop what they're doing. We saw the International Court of Justice do this not that long ago in the conflict in Russia and Ukraine. We saw them rule immediately that Russia needs to stop what they're doing immediately because they are breaking international law. They didn't see that here in Israel. They actually said that Israel does have a right to defend itself in Gaza against Hamas terrorists. Another point that the International Court brought up, which some people are suggesting might be just to save face for the South Africans, for all of the pro-Hamas supporters, that they needed to give them some little victory. I don't know if I count this as a victory. The court had said that Israel must, quote, do its best to try and avoid committing a genocide. So obviously that implies that they are not committing a genocide, or else we would have said stop. But what it's saying is that if you may get to the point of committing a genocide, then that will be a problem. So they're admitting there isn't one, but giving a little bit of a victory to the South Africans and anybody else, you know, maybe you could be committing a genocide if you continue or get worse than what you're doing right now. So again, not really a victory for the pro-Gazan, pro-Hamas movement. However, some people have tried to spin that to suggest that they did suggest Israel is committing crimes, or else why would they warn them not to? This is just a very poorly spun lie. Another thing that they brought up was that they asked Israel to stop people in their government from saying things that could be possibly maybe considered sort of genocide talking, calling for the destruction of the entire area, telling them that Palestinians will never live in Gaza ever again. Obviously, I personally don't condone these types of comments, but they're just comments. That has nothing to do with what's actually happening on the ground, nor do those individuals necessarily represent the government specifically or Israel as a whole. So the court said that Israel should try its best to remove themselves from that type of talk, but again, not saying that they're actually committing genocide by some people referring to these comments. Another key and very important thing that was added to the decision was that the court ruled that the kidnapping of civilian hostages by Hamas was in fact a war crime, and therefore they must be released immediately. This is one thing that it's funny the Hamas-loving people on social media completely ignore, will not talk about it, because they don't want to address the fact that, yes, the court that you thought would come onto your side and say that there's a genocide happening didn't say that, and then he said that what your side, the pro-Hamas groups, are doing are illegal, against international law. You cannot kidnap innocent civilians and hold them in horrible situations, not to mention we've gone over many times the International Red Cross that's not been allowed to see them or take care of them. The irony, of course, is off the charts. But lastly, and most importantly, what the court was saying is that Israel needs to come back in 30 days and provide more evidence or specific evidence on how they are going to put these things into practice. For example, showing that they are telling people in their government to stop making those claims of let's level Gaza and remove all the Palestinians or whatever it was. How have you dealt with that? How are you dealing with the possibility that you could be committing a genocide? And all Israel has to do, which they've made this claim many times over, is show them all the things they're doing, like dropping leaflets, making safe zones, avoiding civilian targets, all of these things that they do on a daily basis. I saw one meme online that was really funny, which essentially said, court rules that Israel just has to continue to do what it's already doing, which is pretty much summarizing this entire thing. So the court didn't rule in the favor of South Africa. They didn't rule in the favor of the pro-Hamas movement. There is not a genocide. Even though they didn't rule on that specific issue, the fact that they are not telling Israel to stop and saying Israel has every right to continue what they're doing means there's no genocide. Period. End of story. It's pretty black and white. So the funny thing is, what do the pro-Hamas people who are out chanting that there's a genocide do now? Can you still say there's a genocide? The court that you brought to says there isn't one, which is kind of the first house of cards that is starting to crumble. They no longer can say that. It's been proven in court that they do not meet the idea of a genocide, which we all knew already. It's kind of funny. And let me just caveat this whole thing with the fact that I've said in my previous podcast, and I'm not a hypocrite, I still think the International Court of Justice is a joke. I don't accept anything they say anyway. Frankly, they shouldn't have even taken this case because on its face, it's ridiculous. The second house of cards to fall recently is a lot of people have been talking, and I've posted many times on our JDR podcast Instagram, about the issues that we find in the UN relief agency that focuses specifically on the Palestinian people. UNRWA, UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, this UN body is only for the Palestinian people and the refugees, to keep them refugees forever, and to funnel money into their cities and their governments to supposedly help them, give them food, give them support, give them money and concrete and infrastructure. Yet meanwhile, even before October 7th, Gaza, according to most, was a terrible place to live. It had no infrastructure, it had no power, it had no water. Where's all this billions and billions of dollars going? Well, we already know that. It goes to the Hamas leadership, and they spend it on weapons. So there's always been this unfortunate situation where the UN turns a blind eye to what Hamas is doing in and around their schools, in and around their warehouses and their storage rooms. They pretend like they don't know, even though there's many documentations of people telling the UN what's happening, Israel showing the UN what's happening, and they just turn a blind eye. It is completely corrupt at this point. The UN likes to play dumb and pretend that they don't know what's going on, despite the fact that UN Watch has reported in 2015, 2017, 2019, 2021, 2022, 2023, all of these things that are happening in UN schools, under UN schools, tunneling underneath, and there's been reports for years that UN has known all about this. And yet they pretend now like, oops, we didn't realize that the UN and Hamas were so closely connected. But since the October 7th attack, a lot more information is coming out, and it's actually causing this entire facade to crumble. First of all, we noticed many times when we found the Israelis going into mosques, into schools, into hospitals, we saw UN flak jackets, bulletproof vests with the big blue UN sign on it, and blue helmets in amongst AK-47s, grenades, rockets. The fact that the people who run the terrorist operations either are wearing them as cover, problem number one, if that's the case, or are actually UN employees also, which is problem number two. It is possible they're moonlighting as UN people during the day and then terrorists at night. We did also see recently records show that UN school teachers were actually being called up months ago by the Hamas leadership, sending letters to their schools saying, please do us a favor. These teachers need to go off for training months before October 7th, which means not only they needed to be trained, but they probably took part in the October 7th attack, along with the UN vehicles that were used during the October 7th attack, and many other elements of UN schools and infrastructure that have been used on October 7th. That was bad enough. And we all knew that, you know, it was people pretended like it wasn't happening. But then it became clear when a chat was released of 3,000 UN school teachers in Gaza who had a WhatsApp group chat sharing information about October 7th, talking about how, oh, everyone go and find yourself someone to kill, everybody get out there and do stuff, all of this disgusting things that were happening are UN employees. And then, of course, the UN said, no, this is misinformation. That's not true. None of these people are teachers. Meanwhile, in that same chat, it was found there were documents about people's salaries, people's employee numbers for the UN. So clearly, this was a UN school teacher chat with a lot of information proving that all of these people worked for the UN. This is when things started to crumble a little more. And then we started hearing survivor testimony from the October 7th kidnapped people coming back and saying, I spent 17 days in the house of a UN teacher who was holding me captive. That happened to at least two or three that I've seen. There might still be some right this minute. And yet the UN pretended it wasn't happening. No, this isn't happening to us. Since this information came out, 12 UN school employees have been fired for their activities on October 7th. Clearly, the UN finally had to face the music and deal with the problem. But I'm sure it's just 12 people of 3,000. And with all of this information coming out, and I've read that Israel has actually provided more physical evidence to certain countries who have asked for it to show them specifically how UN is involved in Hamas in October 7th, that all of these countries very slowly started to pull funding from the UNRWA specifically. No more funding, they're pausing it, to the Palestinian people and their government and their corrupt deals with the UN and Hamas. It's done. And so we've seen a very quick landslide of countries now pulling their funding. And we're going to go through a little bit about this because I think it's really amazing to see. As of right now, in the recording of this podcast, things might change. There are 12 countries that have officially pulled and paused their funding to UNRWA. Countries like Estonia, Finland, Japan, France, Germany, the UK, Italy, Netherlands, Switzerland, Australia, US, and Canada have started to withhold their funding to UNRWA. Estonia gives $90,000 in 1 year in 2022. Finland, $7 million. Japan, $30 million. France, $29 million. Germany, $202 million goes to the Palestinian people. Where does that money go? Right into the pockets of Hamas, who are billionaires. UK, $21 million. Italy, $18 million. Netherlands, $21 million. Switzerland, $25 million. Australia, $14 million. Canada, $23 million. And the Piece de la Resistance, USA, $340 million in 1 year to UNRWA, to the billionaires who run Hamas. And all of that money now is gone. Thankfully, they have withheld this funding. It is no longer going to be going to Hamas leadership to pay for rockets and tunnels. And now that the countries have withheld funding, the rough estimate of how much money the Palestinian people, aka Hamas, have just lost is $750 million. That's how much these countries give in 1 year. By the way, that's not everybody. That's not even half of how many people donate to these people. That's how much money they get every year. What's interesting is, now that they've lost this money, the UN Secretary General, the man who claims he had no idea what was going on, and I guess now has to admit he should know or has to know. If we know this stuff, I'm sure he has to know this stuff, still came out and said, no, please don't pause your funding. Continue funding UNRWA. Why? We just showed you it's completely corrupt. They're giving money to Hamas. They're spending money on terror. And you are saying that we should still fund them? Talk about corruption. The corruption goes all the way to the top. There's no way that he and many others didn't know what was going on with that money. And now that they still know, they're saying, nope, we're going to keep funding them. Please don't take your $750 million away. Interestingly, on that 2022 UNRWA donor list, we also noticed a few very interesting key features, like who isn't funding the UNRWA people. These are, you know, people who obviously don't care about the Palestinian people, because otherwise you'd give them money. You give money to people that you want to support. Meanwhile, Canada, United States, Australia, all of these countries are giving out millions and millions of dollars. And who's not funding? Iran is not funding. I thought Iran really cares about the Palestinian people. They're constantly talking about how Israel's the worst place in the world because of the way they treat the Palestinians. Not a single dollar has gone to support them through UNRWA. They send money, of course, in rockets and stuff off the books, we'll call it. But nothing through UNRWA for their infrastructure and food and for water and things of that nature, as if they cared. You know who else doesn't send anything? Yemen. The people who are currently trying to bomb ships and bomb Israel for the plight of the Palestinian people, supposedly. Yet ironically, not even a nickel to the people of Gaza when they need money for food and shelter and help in any way. But the best of it all, Egypt gives nothing, not a dollar to UNRWA. Why? These are their brethren. You know, these people in Gaza were actually Egyptian at one point in history. You close off your border to them. The least you can do is send them some money through UNRWA. What do these countries know that we don't? Why are we, the West, sending hundreds of millions of dollars and the people who live next door to the Gazan people couldn't care less to give them a dollar? Makes you think a little bit. But interestingly, I was actually curious, since the South Africans are very worried about the Gazan people, since they brought a whole trial to make sure that the Gazan people are not harmed in any way, they must care about the poor Gazan people in order to give money to UNRWA. In 2022, they gave $170,000. That's it. $170,000 for an entire country. I mean, don't get me wrong, terrible problems, if, as you heard in our last podcast. But amazingly, don't care enough to send even remotely as much as many other countries are giving. So do they really care about the Gazan people? Or is this all a big ploy and a house of cards that they've built to try and demonize Israel when they really don't care? In the end, it's been a pretty good week, considering the International Court of Justice, as corrupt as it might be, has not tried to demand that Israel stops its defensive war against the terrorist organization. They have not demanded that Israel is doing anything wrong and that they must stop. And amazingly, they even realized that kidnapping civilian babies, children, Holocaust survivors is actually a war crime, and said so, and said that they should be released immediately. Unfortunately, Hamas is not going to listen. It's ironic. If everybody hoped for the Israelis to get a verdict of their committing genocide stopped now, I'm sure they would have expected it to be dealt with immediately. But when it's Hamas being told to release the hostages, no, they don't have to follow that. It's fine. That house of cards has officially been broken down and is gone. And amazingly, since October 7th, I never thought I'd see the day that we are seeing actual people taking this seriously on the corruption in the UN. And we're seeing countries defunding the UN relief agency. And I've even heard that apparently the Israelis are saying, post whatever happens here in Gaza right now, when Hamas is gone, the UNRWA will no longer be welcome in Gaza. There have to be some other organizations and ways to set up aid and relief. They have been corrupt since the day they were developed as a way of keeping the Palestinian issue alive with forever refugees, making sure they live on subsistence level to keep the PR war against Israel strong. This agency is finally going to meet its match with a world that's saying no more. None of you are actually interested in helping the poor people of Gaza who don't deserve this, and we are not going to fund you anymore, and we're going to find a better way. Hopefully, this is the end of this whole house of cards, and we are seeing a huge shift in the way that we deal with this issue in Gaza that might actually help the Gazan people get them out of the poverty that they are being kept in by their leaders and the United Nations. And finally, we will see the end of this pro-Hamas house of cards that is built on lies, misrepresentations, and corruption. This will finally be the end of it. This has been another episode of the Jewish Diaspora Report. Don't forget to check us out on social media at JDR.podcast and check out some of our other episodes on your favorite podcast source. We'll see you next time.